Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Proverbs 29. In verse 18, where there is no vision, the people perish. This is a very important thing for us to understand because it happens today also. A lot of the stuff that was written in the Old Testament, yes, it may pertain to the Old Testament age. We are now in the age of grace, but the principles do not end. The Word of God is true. It's always been true and it always will be true. So a lot of the principles that are in the Old Testament, albeit maybe they were written for political things to Israel, like the minor prophets, that was often political issues to Israel, not always, but often. The principles that are involved still exist today, still pertain to today's age. So just because it's in the New Testament, don't think it doesn't apply today. It certainly does. Certain things don't apply the way that people used to use it, like the law. But the principles of the law are still true. Albeit we are now under grace, we now live by faith, not by the law. But the principles of the law still are true. They still hold. If a country wants to be blessed, they need to enter into the principles of the law. If a Christian wants to be blessed, they need to enter into the principles of grace. The law was not given to individuals, it was given to nations. Well, we still have nations. And so this stuff all still holds. We just have to use it correctly. And that's where people sometimes get in trouble, is they don't know how to apply it, and they apply it incorrectly. Here, this pertains to today also. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Now, the word vision speaks to divine instruction. This comes from the days when the prophets were called seers. And they would literally receive either in a dream or an almost like in front of them, like a unveiling, if you will, like a sheet, like you see in Acts chapter 10 when Peter had the vision and it was like a drape, a sheet coming down from heaven and God showed him this thing. That happened in the Old Testament. That's how prophets would receive instruction from God. Sometimes it was in dreams, sometimes it was in these visions. And in those days, like Samuel, for example, they were called seers. And you still see reference to it in the Word of God, even in the translations, when people were looking for the seer. It's talking about the prophet. The vision that he received was some form of divine instruction. Well, today we receive divine instruction also. We don't necessarily get it in visions. They can still happen. They're very rare nowadays, and they usually happen where there is no Word of God to be found. In Muslim countries, for example, this has been happening. Christ has been revealing himself to Muslims in visions, and they're getting saved because of visions. Why? Because the Bible, the New Testament, the message of grace is not available in those countries, so he gives them a vision. He gives them divine instruction in whatever way they'll receive it. You receive divine instruction. In this country and countries like ours, we have plenty of pastors, we have plenty of churches, plenty of them do a good job preaching the Word of God. So we receive divine instruction, in our case, through pastors, no longer through the old visions, but the vision means divine instruction. Without that, the people perish. Now, perish is not the same as what the English translation suggests. That word refers to casting off restraint. There's nothing to restrain you. There's nothing to set your boundaries, if you will, where there is no divine instruction. People sometimes will go after things just because they want to go after things if they don't know the will of God, if they don't know the ways of God, if they don't know doctrine. then they'll simply go after things that might not necessarily be good for them, might be actually destructive, might be against what God desires, against the ways of God, but they still go after them because there's a lack of divine instruction. You see this today a lot. For example, Christians who are in favor of abortion. There's a lack of divine instruction there because it's very clear in the Word of God that you do not perform abortions. The life of the child is just as valuable as the life of anybody else, even though the child has not been born yet. That life is valuable. You do not perform abortions. And Exodus specifically gave the penalty to somebody who would cause a child that was not yet born to die. That was a severe penalty for that. I'm not going to get into that right now. But there was a severe penalty for that. Now, we're not under the age of the law today. I'm not trying to propagate that this is what should happen today. My point is that this is against the will of God. Yet still, some Christians will be in favor of this. Why? They have not received divine instruction. I'm not saying they haven't received any instruction, but the instruction that they sometimes receive, because quite frankly, it is reality. Satan is an angel of light. There are angel of light pulpits out there. Thank God for the many that are not. Thank God for those pulpits that preach it the way it is. But there are angel of light pulpits out there that cater to people's old sin nature. That cater to people's preferences. That cater to people's lust patterns and that cater to their wanting to avoid responsibility of their actions. In Judges 21:25, this was one of the problems that Israel had after Joshua died. And then they went into the age of the judges. And the judges were people who would deliver Israel. It says there, in those days, there was no king in Israel. Remember, the first king in Israel was Saul. That was hundreds of years after Joshua. Israel had a long period of time where they had no king, no leadership. The leadership was all on a local level. And sometimes that didn't even really exist because people didn't necessarily live as clustered as they do today. There was no king in Israel. Each man did what was right in his own eyes. If everybody does what is right in their own eyes, without divine instruction, that can pretty soon lead to some pretty chaotic circumstances. Now, I'm not saying that people should not be free to do as they believe. What I am saying is because people had no divine instruction. They did what was right in their own eyes as it relates to before God. And so before God, they lived any old way they thought was good for them. Any old benefit. And that could lead to some pretty difficult circumstances. Nowadays, we have a push to roll back freedoms like freedom of speech. That is not of God. And this isn't to be political, but that is not of God. The freedoms that we enjoy were given by the founding fathers because they're supported in the Bible. And freedom of speech is one of those things. When the Word of God says in Hebrews 4:16, come boldly to the throne of grace. The word boldly means frankness and boldness, plainness of speech, literally. So you go to the throne of grace speaking your mind. That's freedom of speech. God gives freedom of speech. Just today, this morning, I saw a headline that a very well-known, no longer active in the system, but still influential politician says we need to roll back freedom of speech or we lose control.
Exactly. That's the idea. Who says you should have control over other people's lives? God doesn't. God says they have a free volition. The freedoms that the country has established is for us to be able to live with God, have a place with God, have a place with each other, have the Word of God be able to flourish, have individuals be able to maximize their potential for their own well-being. And God desires that. Where there is no divine instruction, however, you're going to have people who call themselves Christians, and this particular person does, at least used to call themselves a Christian, you're going to have people who are trying to take away the things of God, the ways of God, who are going to try to enter into the things that God does not want. And we know He doesn't want it because the Bible spells it out. That's one of the reasons why they attack the Bible. Because the Bible says, hey, these people are right, these people are wrong, no bones about it. You agree with the Bible, you're right. You disagree with the Bible, you're wrong. The Word of God is forever settled in heaven. It's the only eternal thing that exists on earth right now. Too bad if you don't like it. And say, okay, we got to get rid of the Bible then. Good luck with that one. They've been trying that for a long, long time, and everybody who's tried has been gotten rid of by God. Good luck with that one. The point is that you need divine instruction not to enter into errors, even obvious errors. Divine instruction is what keeps you safe, and it also makes you prosperous. If you do things God's way, God will bless what you're doing. If you do things contrary to God's way, you might be able to make it work for you because of logistical grace, but ultimately, God's going to oppose it. In Proverbs 3:5, the first key to living in a vision, to having a vision, this is what it means to have a vision. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. There's about a million different reasons why that's important. But trust in the Lord with all your heart. Heart speaks a frame of reference. And do not lean on your own understanding. Well, how am I going to trust the Lord with my whole frame of reference if I don't lean on my own understanding? How does that even work? It works in Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word. So I receive the Word of God and it enters my frame of reference. That means it's the foundation of my thinking. When the Word of God is the foundation of my thinking, that is the bottom line, the foundation of faith. When the Word of God is the basis of my thinking. Because then I'm thinking with the Word of God for everything. Then in Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the conviction of realities unseen. And so we have this because we have the foundation, the basis of thinking with God. So we think with God because of the Word of God. We don't lean on our own understanding. We don't lean on that which is natural. We don't lean on thinking apart from God. We don't lean on the way things appear or the way things seem. Those things are extremely unreliable. If I'm relying on that which is unreliable, it cannot sustain me. But if I rely on that thing which is absolute, which is the Word of God, and when the Word of God is in my frame of reference, I'm relying on that which is absolute for correct thinking. Therein is faith. If I want vision, I need to be divinely instructed. That comes from a pulpit, and that pulpit will build my faith through the Word of God. In Jeremiah 7:23, God says, I command them this thing, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God. And you shall be my people. Also, walk in all the ways that I have commanded you, so that it may be well with you. Why? So that it may be well with you. How am I going to walk in all the ways that He commands me? Well, I need divine instruction. He will be everything to you that God offers when you live according to divine instruction. That means that He will be the practical Father to you. I mean, you have your dad that is ordained by God. That's a wonderful relationship. But He will be a Father to you beyond what your dad is able to be to you, because your dad is human. He will be a Father who can never fail or forsake. Like, my dad went home to be with the Lord, but I still have a father. And that father relationship is real. He's going to be your counselor. You want wisdom? He's the one to go to. He's going to be your comforter. You want soothing? You're hurting? Something's bothering you? He's the one who takes care of it for you. He's the one who makes you feel better. How's He going to do it? Divine instruction. He's the one who protects you. And sometimes He protects you simply because you know how to think, you know what to get into, what not to get into. And sometimes He protects you against those things that are unforeseen. But He is your protector. He's your caretaker. You may wind up in a situation, perhaps, God forbid, but maybe your health goes bad. And all of a sudden, you're not able to take care of yourself. He'll take care of you. A lot of people have seen Him do that. He will literally take care of you. He will literally make sure you have everything that you need. That's who He is. That's what He does. When I live in divine instruction, I know how to tap into that. I know how to apply this. He'll be your friend if you don't have a friend. A lot of people are lonely out there because they don't know how to have a friendship with God. But if I live in divine instruction, then He will be my friend. He'll be your guide. That's what the Holy Spirit does in John 16:13. He guides you in truth so that you'll know the right decisions. You may not know from the start, but you ask Him and He makes sure that you make the right decisions. He's your provision for everything. God, am I ever going to get married? Am I ever going to do this, that, or the other thing? Don't worry about it. God's the provision for that. God takes care of that for you. In Genesis 24, Isaac didn't have to worry about finding a wife. Abraham sent his trusted servant, which is a picture of the Father sending the Holy Spirit, and he found him a wife. And it was the right one. The Holy Spirit always finds the right person for you. He answers your prayer. John 15:7. If you receive divine instruction, God will answer prayer. If that's in your frame of reference. Obviously, He's your Savior. Why did that come? Divine instruction. You heard about Jesus. Divine instruction. He's the provider of eternal life. When I live in divine instruction, I tap into that. I enter into the provisions of eternal life when I live in divine instruction, because that's what the divine instruction is about. God's quality of life. And if you fail, you have an advocate with the Father. Why? You have divine instruction. In other words, not only do you know that you do not have to be condemned if you fail, you know how to handle your failure. You know how to get right from your failure. And then, you know how to think about the failure. You know how to get rid of it. You know how to repent from it. You know what you need to do. You know the adjustments that are required so you won't fail again. And if you fail again, you'll know what to do with that also. Why? Divine instruction. That divine instruction, that vision is everything. Don't ever underestimate the need that you personally have for divine instruction. Because divine instruction, you should be able to figure this out just by the words, is God instructing you. The fact that it often comes through the voice box of a man, in Revelation chapter 2 and Revelation chapter 3, does not mean it's not the Holy Spirit utilizing that man's voice box. It is. And if that man knows how to hear from God, you're receiving God's message. It's not hard to hear from God. In Matthew 7:23, Jesus said, "Go in through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many are the ones entering through it. For narrow is the gate and constricted is the way that leads to life, and few are the ones finding it." You know what the problem is with doing things that are right in your own eyes apart from divine instruction? It puts you into the wide and broad gate. A lot of people do that, but the end is destruction. Now, this is God telling us how to go about things. He knows. Because He designed it all. He knows. If you want to go about the way that so many people go about, "Oh, I'm free to do this and I'm free to do that, and I have a choice and I can make my choices and I can live with God, I can live without Him, I can do things according to the way I feel I should do them." Knock yourself out. The problem is, you will knock yourself out. That's the way that leads to death. People say, "Well, why can't I believe in whatever else, whoever else? Why does it have to be Jesus?" Because He is the door. Why do you go through the door when you go into your house? Because the door is how you go into your house. Why would it be any different with God? It's like saying, "Why should I use the door to get into my house?" Well, how do you want to get in? The window. Some smart aleck out there will say, "The window. The wall of New Jerusalem has no windows. It only has doors." So you go through the door. Why Jesus? He's the door. Simple as that. So, He said here, narrow is the gate and constricted is the way. In other words, the way that you get to eternal life is defined. There's nothing ambiguous about it. It's not vague in any way at all. It's clearly defined for you. And you want to stay within what He has defined. If you want to get to that eternal life. Now that has two applications. On the one hand, yes, the obvious one is salvation. That's absolutely correct. But then there's also the eternal life that He wants us to have right now, which is an eternal quality of life. God's quality of life inside of you. The highest quality of life that exists. Well, how do I get that? I stay within what God has defined. I stay within divine instruction. I don't go after what is right in my own eyes. I go after what is right in God's eyes. Because there's the truth. My eyes can be deceitful. You don't think so? Have you ever seen a black cat in a dark room and then you turn around and you look, there's no cat at all, it's just a shadow? Your eyes can be deceitful. But God is never deceitful. The Word of God is truth in John 17:17. That is absolute. There are some people who say, oh, there's no absolutes. Oh, yes, there are. There absolutely are absolutes. If your heart's not beating, you're going to die. That is an absolute. Don't tell me there's no absolute. If your heart's not beating, you're going to die. That's an absolute. Well, there's a bunch of absolutes. The Word of God gives you a ton of absolutes. And they're amazing. There are things you can absolutely rely on. There are things that you can absolutely trust. The promises of God, for example, they are 100% without exception, absolutely reliable. If God said it, God will do it. Simple as that. The promises of God can't lie. That is an absolute. God will never leave you or forsake you. That is an absolute. You can trust everything that comes from the Word of God. That is an absolute. You can rely on it in everything to give you the correct means of thinking. That is an absolute. There's all kinds of absolutes in the Word of God that are absolutely reliable. So we stay within what the Word of God defines through divine instruction. In John 16:13, the Holy Spirit guides us in all truth and He declares to us the things to come. Now that declares to us the things to come, sometimes that gets a little bit abused by emotional people. He does guide you in all truth. The Word is truth. He guides you in all application of the Word of God. Well, in Romans 1:17, the righteousness of God, righteousness being your relationship to Christ that gives you right standing with God, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. Faith comes by hearing. So what is this saying? You receive the Word of God, you apply it. That is faith to faith. You receive the Word of God, you apply it. Therein is the righteousness of God. The Holy Spirit guides you in that. He gives you the Word of God, tells you what it means for your life, shows you how to apply it in your life. He's guiding you in all truth. But then also, He shows you things to come. Now, that's a little bit different. People think, well, He's going to show you the future. You're going to start prophesying the future. And some people get weird with this. It's not what it means. In Ecclesiastes 3:11, this is what it means. He has put eternity in their heart, without which man cannot find out the work that God makes from beginning even to the end. He gives you understanding, is what that's talking about. If you have an eternal frame of reference, showing you the things to come, eternal frame of reference, then you will understand, at least have capacity for the things God is doing in your life that might not be understandable by sight. Something happens and you wonder why. Happens all the time to people. If you have an eternal frame of reference, you'll know how to deal with that question. That's what it's referring to. He's guiding you in all truth, and He's giving you an eternal frame of reference so that you can comprehend that what you are experiencing now, positive or negative in your estimation, has an eternal purpose and fits into an eternal plan. And He may even give you enlightenment about that plan. Because He guides you in all truth. It's the Holy Spirit instructing you. Sometimes you're sitting in church and all of a sudden the message is speaking to you. That's the Holy Spirit instructing you. That's divine instruction through preaching. It's not the pastor's words per se. It's what the Holy Spirit does with the pastor's words when you receive them. The pastor's words themselves are what the Word of God in the original language calls logos, the proclaimed Word of God. That teaches us. That gives us a foundation. But when that message comes and all of a sudden it's speaking to you, that's not logos. That's rhema in the original language. And that means specific instruction for the specifics of your life coming from the Holy Spirit. So yes, the Word of God is coming from the Holy Spirit on the whole. The message is God's message. It's God's Word. But some things in there, because I'm not the only one sitting in church, don't pertain to me directly. They're not addressing something currently happening in my life, but then some things do. The parts that don't become instruction for me for later, for living. The parts that do pertain to me become instruction, definition for right now. And so the Holy Spirit gives me that instruction through the Word of God. I receive the instruction from the pulpit and it becomes instruction from the Holy Spirit. And He's guiding me in all truth. In Proverbs 3:6, in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. That means that narrow path, He's giving you a promise. You acknowledge Him and you will be on that path that leads to eternal life. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. The thing about the vision, it's refreshing. Sometimes people think the vision is a burden, a yoke. It's not. It's refreshment. It's life imparting. It's uplifting. You receive divine instruction, and it's not a series of do's and don'ts. It's life. That's what gives you the capacity to receive a very high quality of life. And it's very edifying when it comes. Yes, it may convict you, but it still edifies. Because it's divine instruction, instruction from the One who is love. And part of being love is He wants you edified, and He also wants you instructed. Amen?
If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, and you don't know where you're going to go when you die, simply pray, "Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I receive You as my Savior. Thank You for loving me so much that You died for me so I can have eternal life with You. Amen."